This was the point where a protest by thousands of indigenous Colombians over the signing of a free trade deal between Colombia and the US turned to scenes of violence. Riot police fired tear gas at the demonstrators who blocked the main Pan-American highway linking the southwest to the center of the country. The indigenous Colombian protesters object to the signing of the pact with the US and are demanding land to which they say they have an ancient right. Organizers of the march said some 30,000 turned out. The government accused the rebel revolutionary armed forces of Colombia of pressuring the demonstrators to take part. Indigenous Colombian leaders rejected the allegation and accused the government of attacking the protesters as if they were an illegal group. Paul Chapman, Reuters.
Whatever Europe hoped from its plans to induce Iran to give up its uranium enrichment program, it so far looks unlikely to work. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad ridiculed the idea in a public address. He was speaking in Arak, the site of a heavy water nuclear reactor that Iran is building, despite opposition from Western countries.
They say we want to give Iranians incentives, but they think they're dealing with a four-year-old, telling him they will give him candies or walnuts and taking gold from him in return.
Meanwhile, diplomatic efforts are continuing. Britain, France and Germany has offered Iran a light water reactor if it stops its enrichment program. In Moscow, the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov supported the European offer, saying the crisis could only be settled if Tehran responds constructively to it. But the EU says it'd be surprised if Iran did accept, but would take a rejection as confirmation that its aims are not totally peaceful. Penny Tweedy, Reuters.
Jet black smoke spews into the Afghan skies after the latest suicide bomb blast. This suicide bomber rammed a car packed with explosives into a vehicle belonging to the UN mine clearing agency. He killed himself but only slightly wounded the UN driver. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack, which is the latest in a string of recent suicide and roadside bomb blasts. The explosion happened on the road between the main southern town of Kandahar and its airport.
I was in my shop and I heard a big bang. When I came out, I saw two vehicles were burning and a dead body on the road, and the UN vehicle was totally destroyed.
Meanwhile, the body of a French soldier killed in a mine blast has been flown home after a brief ceremony held at Kabul International Airport. The soldier died while clearing mines in Kabul last Monday. There are about 650 French soldiers stationed in Afghanistan as part of the NATO-led International Security Assistance Force. Darcy Lambton, Reuters.
Another night of violence in the West Bank. Gunfire can be heard as Israeli army vehicles fill the streets of Nablus during a raid in which the Israelis circled a building holding Palestinian militants. By morning, the results of the raid are all too clear. Two Palestinian militants are dead. According to Palestinian sources, they were from outside Nablus but had come to use the city as a hideout. The raid comes just days after Israeli troops killed seven Palestinians, including a leading Islamic Jihad militant, during the bloodiest fighting in weeks in the occupied West Bank. Penny Tweedy, Reuters. Saddam was the first of eight defendants to enter the court wearing his now familiar dark suit and white shirt. He was there to listen to defense testimony for some of his less well-known co-defendants. The judge told them that claims they were simply obeying orders was no defense. Witnesses hid behind a curtain to speak anonymously. Saddam and his aides have claimed 399 killings, torture, imprisonments and deportations in a Shiite town were justified because those punished had tried to kill Saddam. The first defense witness said Saddam's convoy had passed him in the town and had been subjected to an assassination attempt. All eight defendants could be hanged if found guilty. But any execution of Saddam would be delayed by appeals and possibly up to a dozen other trials for war crimes and genocide. Penny Tweedy, Reuters.
Emergency services arrive outside the courtroom in Ankara where the gunman opened fire. The incident took place in Turkey's top administrative court, known as the Council of State. The attacker had started shooting with a handgun during a committee meeting. One judge was killed and another four judges injured. In the past, the court's judges have been criticised in Islamist circles for their overtly secularist rulings. The murder is certainly a grim reminder of the strong divide that exists between secular and religious groups in Turkey. Police have detained the gunman, who is believed to be a lawyer, registered with the Istanbul Bar Association. Witnesses say the gunman had shouted, "May God's wrath be upon you," as he carried out the attack. Reports suggest he had targeted the judges because of a recent ruling preventing a woman from becoming a head teacher because she wore a headscarf. Darcy Lampton, Reuters.
UN Security Council's given Sudan a week to let its military experts into Darfur to plan for the arrival of its peacekeepers. Russia, China and Qatar are insisting any UN peacekeeping mission must have Khartoum's consent. What happens if Sudan doesn't meet the one-week deadline isn't clear, but America's ambassador to the UN welcomed the resolution.
The U.S. and others felt strongly that a Chapter 7 resolution was necessary, and by persisting, we persuaded Russia and China to go along.
Earlier, thousands displaced by the fighting in Darfur protested over conditions in the refugee camps they now call home.
The people, they are suffering from hunger. The people, they are suffering from health edit. So from water. A lot of problems, they take place around. There is killing.
A peace deal remains in the balance after two of the three main rebel groups refused to sign. Refugees have also rioted over the deal, which they fear offers them too little protection. Paul Chapman, Reuters.
Village of Buhatan in the Philippines. This is the sound that will tell the villagers to pick up their things and evacuate the area in the event of a tsunami. They're taking part in a region-wide tsunami test involving 28 Pacific nations. It's all very calm and good-natured now, but the memories of the horror of the recent tsunami in the Indian Ocean, which killed 220,000 people, are still fresh and raw. No one is taking it lightly.
Tsunami alert level number 4.
When the tsunami alert level reaches number 4, we already have the authorization to evacuate.
The event is being coordinated from the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center based in Hawaii. They hope a chain of alert can be successfully set up so that even small communities are warned and emergency services can respond. An early warning system is also being developed in the Indian Ocean as a result of the recent tsunami disaster. Penny Tweedy, Reuters.
The Da Vinci Code is one of the most anticipated movies of the Cannes Film Festival, not least for the controversy it's generating. Fans gave its stars a warm reception in the French city as they arrived by train. But Christians around the world have staged heated protests like this one in Greece. They reject as blasphemy a suggestion in the story that Jesus Christ married and established a dynasty covered up at all costs by elements within the church.
People who do not recognize the truth will be influenced by this film. This film is a rape of our conscience.
Film critic Greg Kilday says the furore has given the movie publicity money just can't buy.
I don't think this is a movie that set out to be controversial. In many ways, it was really always meant to be a glossy mainstream Hollywood thriller.
Despite the heated debate, critics who viewed the movie ahead of its world premiere gave it only a lukewarm reception. Paul Chapman, Reuters.